Good morning. I'm Emerson Leach, and I'm a member of the high school youth group. My pronouns are he, they. Challenged by our liberating faith, we discover deeper spiritual meaning, nurture loving community, cultivate courageous connections, and partner in the work of justice. Welcome to each and every one of you, whether you are here in person or joining via live stream. Whether today is your first or your 100th Sunday in our midst, we are stronger because you are with us. We are one people of many beliefs, origins, identities, and genders. We are all growing, all learning, all loved. It is good to be together.
From Amanda Gorman's poem, The Hill We Rise. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, the sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast, we've learned that quiet isn't always peace. And the norms and notions of what is isn't always justice. And yet, the dawn is ours. Before we knew it, somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Savannah Rystek. I will be reading you the self-reflection, Two Sides of the Same Coin, by Alex Klingenberg. The video ended and the speakers were buzzing again while the professor lectured. I tried to ignore the sound, but I couldn't focus. Finally, I stood to turn them off with the button on the wall of the classroom. One or two other students sighed with relief. The rest of the class and the professor made my sidelong glances. They couldn't hear the buzz that made my entire body tense and teeth ache. The first time I heard the term highly sensitive person, it sounded like a misogynistic term, much like hysterical, a way to put those down who feel and care and cry. I even took the test that Dr. Elon Aron created and came away thinking, that's not me. I'm not particularly sensitive to noise or caffeine or strong emotions. My partner looked at me with loving, skeptical eyes, and I began to question my certainty. After a few months of self-examination, I could answer yes to every question on that test. I honestly didn't know that everyone else didn't experience the world as overwhelming as I do. It turns out that it can be hard to recognize sensitivity in oneself, since it's the way that we experience the world through our bodies. It's very similar to seeing a different color red than everyone else. How could we know? We don't. Figuring out that I have a sensitive nervous system has helped me understand myself, including why I've struggled for most of my life with seemingly ordinary tasks. It's also true that I can sense minute changes in facial expressions, tone of voice, and body language. I experience a huge range of colors, and I can easily imagine what someone might have been feeling when they created a piece of art. These gifts and struggles exist in tandem. For better or for worse, we all have our phobias, pieces of ourself that we both admire and occasionally revile. Maybe yours is a deep ability to see multiple sides of a situation, or perfect pitch, or the desire to straighten every crooked painting in your mom's house, or a body or mind that doesn't fit the narrow definition of typical. It is often true that our weaknesses are often our greatest strength, two sides of the same coin.
Thank you.
Didn't you?
My name is Emerson Leach, and my pronouns are he, they. A few years ago, I was in a conversation with a fellow trans person, and they expressed a feeling I've never been able to convey. Sometimes I feel like people just memorize my pronouns. This caused me two very different revelations. One, some people do just memorize pronouns. Two, I was among them. I spent days contemplating what this meant until I finally understood. If I did not mentally correct myself, I was just memorizing pronouns. I had to do the internal correction. My friend was a girl. I knew she was a girl, yet sometimes I would still think of her as a boy without correcting myself. This had no real effect on her. She was not even aware of this, but the difference to me was astonishing. After that conversation, I began to change my internal narrative along with my external one. I knew if I misgendered her to myself, I would be more likely to do it verbally as well. This revelation also caused me to ponder if this applied in other ways. Was my internal monologue noticeably impactful on my effect in the world? Did my private narrative have repercussions I wasn't aware of? I was distressed by my split-second assumptions, the opinions I was compelled to hold. I understood that I had a subconscious, but these thoughts were something different, the flashes of being a bad person. I'd come up with a theory of a multi-layered mind years ago. I'm not sure where the idea came from, but I know I regarded all my thoughts through this lens. Essentially, I dismissed the thoughts that didn't align with my values as second layer thoughts. The first layer is what I can control, the inner monologue that makes my morals completely sound. I, of course, needed an explanation for these other thoughts, the second layer thoughts. They were what I have been societally taught. I didn't really believe them, so they couldn't have an effect on me. The conversation with my friend made me contemplate this belief. If my internal disregard of their identity affected them, did my other thoughts affect people? Did it matter if they did? I decided, regardless of the external effect, I needed to acknowledge these previously disregarded prejudices. So thus began my journey of introspection. Every time I had a thought that I didn't agree with, I started to think about why. I refused to continue writing them off. I examined what belief I held that could have led to these presumptions. Even if it was as small as making an assumption based off the color of someone's clothes, I tried to trace it back to the root. Was its origin truly societal, or was its effect on me from a previous experience? Whose words were affecting me? Did it originate in the movies I watched, the music I listened to, the people I engaged with? I started noticing the values of the people around me and realized a lot of those second layer thoughts were direct quotes from my friends. I decided that regardless of my feelings towards my friends, I could no longer justify engaging with them. I could not claim to value my morals if the people I chose to be around affected me in such a negative way. I did the same with music, movies, and books. I have purged my media consumption to the point where some of my favorite childhood books I can no longer justify reading. I previously would have assumed this erasure would have a negative effect on me, not in terms of morals, only in happiness. I was much more alone than I ever had been. I couldn't listen to some of my favorite songs, watch my favorite movies, or read my favorite books. My second layer thoughts, however, did quiet down. I no longer held the same distressing prejudices. I may not have gained anything visible in this process of self-examination, but I know that my impact in the world has changed for the better.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Savannah Rivestick. As I've pondered the idea of self-examination and what it means to me, I find myself thinking of 2020. Now, 2020 was an important year for obvious reasons, but for me, it was also the year that I started ninth grade. The year of transition, awkwardness, and that constant nagging feeling of not quite feeling in the right place. Now, with school being online and leaving the house maybe once a month to go grocery shopping, my options for self-exploration were limited. This was the time that I was truly introduced to social media, specifically Instagram and YouTube. While I had encounters with social media, it wasn't until having a slightly extended spring break that I began to scroll and experience all the information present on social media. It was a creative outlet, it allowed me to keep in touch with friends, and it overall just felt great. But while social media was an escape from the current situation, it was also a trap. The issue with social media is it creates self-perpetuating algorithms that oftentimes can harm one's perception of an issue. The algorithms function by showing you content similar to content you have already shown that you liked. It creates an echo chamber where you are surrounded by the same information you already believe, further solidifying that specific belief. I myself, although I didn't realize it at the time, fell into one of these loops on Instagram with diet culture. During COVID, I was especially aware of how I looked, and Instagram diet culture fed into this insecurity. It would suggest absurd diets, introduce new insecurities that you should have, and show pictures of what you should look like. At this age, it was hard for me to recognize the harm that this content was having on my self-image, and I wasn't alone in this belief. It wasn't until older, and having the chance to learn outside of social media, did I begin to understand how disordered this way of thinking was. But why is identifying the echo chamber's effect in our own lives important? Echo chambers radicalize groups in society, making it more and more difficult to understand and empathize with one another. We become divided when we become entirely engulfed in one way of thinking. We are more likely to contribute to and exacerbate the spread of misinformation. It's important to reflect on any issues you believe you have fallen into an echo chamber with, and reflect on how the ideas you are exposed to are affecting your perception. Thank you.
Nobody knows it better, you will try to say how. You have to check yourself, gotta keep your mental straight. Cost a challenge, it's coming, and that is day to day. You trying to check yourself, take some time and meditate. Write down your thoughts, don't ever leave your page blank. You gotta check yourself, get up when you feel down, cause nobody around can really check you. I had to sacrifice a lot to be who I am today. Constant challenges, okay, yeah. I had to pay myself away, told society I'm humble every day. In the opposite universe, check, I won't try to flex much, but when I do, it's because I carry weight and such. I done buried y'all in mush, I done got my head together, cause before my mind's like weather, unable to really predict. I gotta keep myself moving forward to always get better. No, I'm not a clean cheddar, could get me to sell my soul. I'm only striving for the best version I see in me. The perfection of absolute perseverance is a goal. You gotta check yourself, look at what you're doing now. Nobody knows it better, you will try to say how. You have to check yourself, gotta keep your mental straight. Cost a challenge, it's coming, and that is day to day. You trying to check yourself, take some time and meditate. Write down your thoughts, don't ever leave your page blank. You gotta check yourself, get up when you feel down, cause nobody around can really check you. Yeah, these meditations often bring me observations on the bad I never folded, never had. Cause the people who hate me should be glad. I applaud y'all for trying to get between me and my bag. Once I tag in, moving quick to action, spending nights with traction, doing this who's backing. If my mental was a bank, I'd be stacking. I'm doing and I'm backing. I'm doing what these rappers all lacking. I'm putting hard work plus like 20 shifts, showing you can do anything. thing if you really want it big. Gotta trust and grind and do all these things just to make it big. Check it, I'ma come for the game, set records, oh yeah. You gotta check yourself, look at what you're doing now. Nobody knows it better you, they'll try to say how. You have to check yourself, gotta keep your mental straight. Cost of challenge is coming and that is day to day. You trying to check yourself, take some time and meditate. Write down your thoughts, don't ever leave your page blank. You gotta check yourself, get up when you feel down. Cause nobody around can really check you.
Welcome. My name is Patrick Cole. My pronouns are he, him, and I am a high school advisor for this year. We're happy that you're with us here today in this room or joining us remotely. We're pleased to have guests with us in this room and participating through our live stream. Our members would like to greet those of you who are here following the service. So, if you are visiting, please raise your hand and keep it up. Members, take note of guests seated near you and invite them to join you for coffee and conversation when the service is over. If you're visiting us by way of our live stream or viewing an archived version of this service, we'd welcome an opportunity to connect with you as well. I encourage you to reach out to our Director of Member Relations, Kelly Green. You can email her at kelly@uucharlotte.org. Should enhance your experience of future services in our sanctuary, we offer large print orders of service, personal hearing assistance devices, and have an elevator available as well. There's also a hearing loop in the alternate worship space, the Bernstein Room. Welcome to each of you, visitor and member alike. All are welcome to join us next Sunday for a multi-generational service on generosity. You're invited to bring a type of bread that has meaning to your family. We will gather the bread during the service and then share it during coffee hour. Please join me in a time of contemplation or prayer. I invite you to breathe deeply. Be present to the spirit of life, which is in us and through us and around us. To those human connections that give us strength when we struggle and celebrate when we are joyful. The gathered community hears and holds both difficulty and ease as we honor the experiences that make each of us who we are. We hold in our hearts our members who are struggling with addiction, who have loved ones struggling with addiction. And we celebrate with Peg and Joe Argent in the marriage of their son, Tom, to Summer Ernie. All are invited to light a candle on the stands before you during the playing of the offertory in a few moments. Now let us observe a moment of silence as we honor the concerns shared today and those that remain in our hearts. May it be so.
This is a guided meditation by Michelle Maldonado. To begin, silently set an intention for yourself to be open and curious about what comes up, receiving what arises with equanimity. Try to sit comfortably, just allowing whichever position you choose to let you feel both alert and relaxed. Feel free to close your eyes or cast them in a softened downward gaze. Next, let's take three deep breaths in and out, in and out. allowing your mind to settle, your body to settle, and your breath to settle in its natural rhythm. Breathing in and out as we explore how we can build bridges with others to serve as agents of transformation. First, let's bring our attention to our heart space by gently pressing a hand over the heart, allowing it to simply rest there. Placing a hand over the heart can often bring us comfort when we explore difficult thoughts, emotions, or experiences. See what you can notice, perhaps the weight of your palm against your chest, or a temperature difference in the space underneath your palm, or maybe even the sensation of each heartbeat as you expand your awareness, taking it all in with a gentle inhale and exhale. Over the next few moments, I invite you to consider these three things. How did I show up in the world today? How did my privilege show up through me? What actions can I take to help become more aware of my privilege and its impact on others? We don't have to know all the answers. We're simply inviting in reflection and introspection to allow insights and awareness of body and mind to arise. Whatever arises, see if you can meet it with self-compassion and curiosity. Take a minute to reflect. Taking three deep breaths in and out, letting go of thoughts and bringing your attention back to the sensation of your breath, open your eyes or bring your gaze upward and bring your mind back to this space.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. My name is Catherine Whitfield. My pronouns are she, her, and I am one of the high school advisors this year. I'm in awe of these youth and blown away with the amount of insight we can learn from them. The youth are able to experience a wide array of programming that enrich their growth in part due to your generous donations. Today is also the last day to contribute to our partner, Erica's Closet, through our Share the Plate program, where we split the offering with organizations and groups in the community. We will now give and receive the offering.
Thank you.
from Within You, Without You by the Beatles. We were talking about the space between us all and the people who hide themselves behind a wall of illusion and never glimpse the truth. Then it's far too late when they pass away. We were talking about the love we all could share when we find it, to try our best to hold it there with our love. With our love, we could save the world if they only knew. Try to realize it's all within yourself. No one else can make you change. And to see you're really only very small, and life flows within you and without you. We were talking about the love that's gone so cold and the people who gain the world and lose their soul. They don't know, they can't see. Are you one of them? When you've seen beyond yourself, then you may find peace of mind is waiting there. And the time will come when you see we're all one and life flows on within you and without you. Please be seated for the closing music.